Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success. My guest today is Jessica Olson, who's the co-founder of Ren Amber, which began organically when Jessica became a mother. Jessica, welcome to my show.
Thank you so much, Maria with a Y. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on the show because I personally have experience in the fashion industry. So I can't wait to dive in and talk about all the fun things as well as the challenging things in the industry. But before we begin, I want to know the why behind Ren Amber.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you got to know the why, right? So for us, I started the line with my mother, which is just awesome in itself. Ren Amber as a whole grew so organically, and it really didn't start until I had my first child. So my oldest is Ren, that is her name. She is the namesake and muse of the company, Ren Amber. Amber is actually my mother's name. And so once I had Ren, and mind you, she was the first grandbaby on my side. So making Amber Gigi. And she's just has been a talented seamstress my entire life. I grew up in a very artisanal family, starting my grandmother from sewing and crocheting and just whatever you could dream she'd be making. And then my mom really took that under her wing as well. So once Ren came, my mom not only would just shower us with like the cutest little clothes, and anytime I'd see something that I liked, I'd be like, wait a minute, my mom could make that, you know? And literally it just grew organically. We would either get stopped on the street and people would ask us what Ren was wearing, or friends of mine would text or call and be like, wait a minute, that is so cute. You guys really need to start something. So there we have it. Ren Amber was born.
Wow. Okay.
Twice over.
I'm so excited because I literally started 3 companies because of a similar situation where I was sort of solving my own problem. And then it turned into a business. And next thing you know, I had a factory and I had employees and dealing with all this craziness that I was not really a lot of times prepared to deal with. So walk us through the journey. So you guys started it, obviously, due to demand, right?
Yes.
And what was the beginning like?
So the beginning was, it's really cute. We would collect, and my mom had a bunch too of old patterns from decades before. And like my aunt was like, oh, I just went to this, like, I don't know where she was. And she collected all these old patterns too. She's like, I'll mail them to you. And, you know, we had a lot of stuff is original designs too, but we really at our core really love creating timeless heirloom pieces. And most of those were styles from the past. And then we would, you know, switch it up a tad or modernize it a bit and tweak it to our liking, make it simpler for parents. Like one example, you know, buttons are a huge thing in a lot of old patterns, and that's a nightmare for a parent. So we do snaps instead. So we'd really tweak things to make it easy for the parent. But that's a little, you know, tidbit to how we really started, and at our core was creating those styles that can be passed down for generations to come.
I love it. I love it. I have a 9-month-old boy and I was just like on your website dying. I'm like, I need to order this. I need to order. Like, I'm just going to go crazy because it's hard to find cute clothes for boys.
Especially boys, right? Right? And we started primarily as girls just because they're so fun and easy and ruffles. One of our quotes or our phrases is, it's all about the details, because we're huge on ruffles, huge on pockets, you know, straps that crisscross and all those things. But there was such a need for little boys. And so once I had a son, so my second child is a little boy. He actually just turned 2 a couple weeks ago. So we are in the thick of it, but we definitely had to branch out and add to our boy line. But again, a lot of those styles are like vintage from the 40s and 50s. We do really every decade. Honestly, we'll find stuff in the 90s that we love and the 70s. So Yeah, it's just so fun. And we do need to build out our boys even more. So bear with us.
Well, you know, I kind of like the simplicity. I feel like with girls, I have two daughters. They're teenagers now, 16 and 17. But I spent so much money on their ruffled skirts and then their princess outfits that they just would wear everywhere we went. It was ridiculous. My oldest daughter would wear literally Cinderella outfit everywhere she went.
Oh my gosh.
She did not take it off. It was ridiculous. But
that sounds like Ren. Yeah. Oh my God. And lucky for her, Gigi like loves to make costumes too. So we have insane tutus and costumes that we'll do like special order.
Love
that. Permitted, because she just finds, my mom finds so much joy in the creativity aspect of it. So she'll do one of a kind costumes and put her little spin on it, make it as much like the, you know, like a Disney, for example, Encanto. My daughter's obsessed and she loves Isabella and wants to have her next birthday that theme. So yep. Gigi made her an insane costume.
It's just I bet the quality is better, because my pain point was I didn't mind that she wanted to wear the costumes, but the quality, the fabric, it would make her sweat and it would give her a rash. It was just bad. And I so many times wish that there was just really good quality made from organic cotton or something, mm-hmm. but a princess outfit was made from organic cotton so that I would be okay with my daughter wearing it all day if she wanted to. But somehow, you know, that was an issue that I had when I was dealing with my daughter. And I'm so glad that you guys are solving that problem. That's a huge problem, I think, at least for me, it was. Let's talk a little bit about the business side of things, right? Like, obviously, manufacturing is challenging in general. It's not the easiest thing because you're... I've been in the fashion industry. I've been in the shoe industry, and shoe industry is very difficult because people don't know how many components go into a shoe, but like, it's just insane. There's literally 20 average of 20 different pieces of different things that go inside a shoe and before we make it. So, I know the challenges and as well as the fun creative side of things and whatever, but I would love to share a little bit about some of the challenges and opportunities that we're facing in today's world, being in the fashion industry. Would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, I mean, of course. So it's really, obviously we're a little tiny fish in a huge ocean, you know, but for us, it was really to stay true to our core values, which is slow fashion, not fast. You know, we're made to order. We are as sustainable as possible. Like every collection that we do is built around a sustainable upcycle fabric that we've sourced. So it makes our styles limited. We don't have endless amounts of fabric, right? Because there's such a limited amount of it. But in doing so, in reusing and upcycling fabric that's already in existence, we are slowing the manufacturing curve. It's so resource intensive in the fashion industry. So, you know, yes, we're a small brand, but I believe if a lot of small brands band together and start making these, you know, holding these core values to be true and really sticking to their mission and, you know, less impact on our environment, we can make big changes together, right? So in backing up a tad and picking those fabrics, it keeps it out of our landfills as well as, you know, not manufacturing new fabric every single collection. We've chosen to, if we do go to production, like I said before, during our like in between seasons, we're made to order. Like we don't make excess. We want our customers to choose what they want and we'll make it and send it out. You know, we have sewers on staff and really also giving work to other moms and people that, you know, don't want to go into the office or have the ability to be gone all day. So this really gives them freedom for work. When we do bigger scale productions, like on our larger collections, we have a family generationally owned female run family business. That's their sewers. They're downtown Los Angeles. So I'm very adamant, as is my mother, of like doing our part to not only help our local communities with work, but, you know, let's make as little waste as we can. Let's utilize what's already out there. And then one key thing that I think sets us apart as a brand, because going back to what you said, what you need to do is what do you do a little different? And, you know, how do it well. That's all I can say. Like, pick it and know what you don't do and know what you do. So along those lines, we love to create styles that are grow with you. So literally kids can wear and season transitional. So it's not just like, yes, of course we have some really springy stuff, but our dresses, like, they're straps. So you put a shirt under and they're long, and there's just so many different styles that you can wear in the winter as well as the summer. And then that grow with you aspect where you can style it a little different as they grow, I think are kind of core reasons that set us, our little brand, apart.
I love that. And I love that you have the just-in-time inventory system in your company. That's what I did with my shoe company, because when I first started, it was all pre-order. Like, you had to pre-order, customize it. I allowed them to customize it a little bit. Like, they could customize the heel height, the color of the fabric, and the crystals. But ultimately, when I first started out, I would charge the client, and then I would give myself 2.5 weeks to make the shoes. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started. And sometimes people ask, well, I don't have $50,000 or $100,000 to start a company. And I'm like, you don't need anything to start a company. You can start with $500. If you really have a good solid vision and an ability to create something. And it looks like you, like when you were telling me, you're like, okay, we take it and we don't buy or create or, you know, affect our world is like, there's just so much consumption of things. We don't need any more things. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out how to be sustainable. So I love that you guys are thinking that way. And I hope that more people can support you, but also more businesses can learn from you. And also that gives them the opportunity to be open-minded and know that they don't need much money to get it started. But let's talk about funding, because there's a point at every business where you want to go to the next level and you do need funding to go to the next level. So, but before we jump in, I just want to ask, before we jump into funding, I want to ask, what's the one thing that you figured out throughout your journey with Ren Amber that you think took your business to the next level? Has there been anything like that?
I mean, I really think you can always, and we're still trying to grow, right? There's a lot still to learn, of course. But for us, when we could, after COVID, because I mean, obviously that was a big threw a wrench in our plans. We had just had a huge launch, we got into stores, and then COVID hit. And we were sitting on all this inventory that, you know, the stores didn't pay, rightfully so, because they were closed. Yeah. So it was just like big thing. But when we could get back out and do in person and do collaborations with other, whether it's small brands that are in line with our, you know, vision, whether it's platforms that we're a part of, or, you know, markets that go on that are specific to local brands, that sort of thing was big for us, because we could get in front of our customer and tell our story, and they could meet us, you know, face to face. And we really want to be with families and their children throughout their, you know, from baby through child. So it's, how can you do that? You know, besides like telling your brand story online and through Instagram, the only other way that what I feel has been more effective for us is to be in our local communities, like spreading the good word.
I love that a lot, because I think everyone's experiencing the same pain points. And it's, first of all, it's nice to be in a community with like-minded people who can understand, you know, what we're going through and how the pandemic affected us and how we're all trying to pivot and be able to, you know, survive in these difficult times, especially as a brand owner. And I own a brand of my own too. We were in retail stores too, and we really got hit hard when the retail stores closed, and a lot of them went bankrupt and they ended up not paying us and not even returning our products, which was really, really difficult financially. But going back to just keep going and supporting each other and having different like-minded businesses you know, introduce each other to, like, I can introduce you to my customers and you can introduce me to your customers. At the end of the day, we can all benefit from each other's products and services. And I think the one thing that I love is knowing that you are in our community, you are in Los Angeles and California, knowing that we're giving back to the people in this community. It's just such a gratifying thing, in my opinion. Let's talk about because this is something that I actually am going through some of the challenges myself too, where I was going to raise money for my CBD brand last year. But I got a surprise pregnancy and I thought, I don't know if anyone will invest in me with my big belly. I should put this on hold. And I paused it and my company's growing organically, but you know, I own a marketing agency where I help brands that get funded millions of dollars and I help them blow up and scale. And sadly, I'm not able to do that for my own company yet because I don't want to put my personal money on the line like that. And it's a lot of money that I would need to blow it up. So I'm sort of in the same situation, but I want to hear it from you. How has that journey been like? Have you even thought about raising, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. I mean, at first we were 100% self-funded and then it got to the point where you can't scale, you can't grow. So we did secure some funding after COVID, which we were very happy about. And it just helped us to do a larger run, a production run locally in Los Angeles, like I mentioned, let us have inventory like that we could do influencer gifting and do stuff like that, which is like such a part of this whole social media world and, you know, and getting with the right, you know, it's a tough angle too. You got to get like with the right mothers that share in your same core values, you know, and it's children too. So you got to like, not everyone has their kids all the time. Like they're the thing, but anyways, with the funding, it was able to allow us to go to production, right? Then we could then sell that to stores. And now it's like a trickle effect because it goes in, it's like a snowball effect, I should say, because each season rolls into each other. So now that we have, representation, when I say representation, it would be wholesale representation nationwide to like be our sales reps to get us into stores all over. And it's really going well, but we're selling for next spring, right? So we have fall in stores right now and that's all shipping now. Then with that money, it fuels, you know, your next collection. So it kind of, for us, that initial funding really allowed us to have the flexibility to do what you need, the gifting, the having the inventory, and then get those wholesale dollars to then put back into the company. It's not like we're raking in any money yet, but I know it's a long haul and we're just so passionate about touching families' lives through the special occasions, you know, making really special pieces that we say are meant to be loved, worn, and passed down, like whether it's to another family or friends or your, you know, save for your next kid. So,
thank you.
I hope I answered.
Oh, you did. And what advice do you have for whoever's listening, who's getting ready to pitch and raise money? Is there any maybe one or two tips you can share?
Absolutely. So just be really defined on your mission and your core values, because that's your story, right? That's what's going to, I don't want to say sell, but that's what your end consumer is going to connect with. So hone in on that. You need to have like a proper deck, which I am still working on for us, by the way, because I do want to secure another round of funding, you know, after this next collection sells and you already show the numbers, you know, so if you have some data to actually show, obviously that helps too. But again, don't wait till tomorrow. You may not have the chance. The industry may get saturated. Someone else might take your idea or have it and move on it. So any moms out there, any people that are listening that, you know, have a dream, the time is now. You just really should take that next step. Even if you don't secure funding, do it on your own. There are so many channels now that support and lift up small artisans and small brands. So find your community, join it, lift each other up and be as active in it as you can, but really stay true to like what it is you're trying to portray and get out there.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you. You're such an inspiration. And to be in an industry that is so challenging, I respect everything that you're doing. And I'm excited because my son will get to have really cute clothes. And
yes, he sure will.
And congratulations on the expansion. That's really tough to do. And to your point, you know, you do have to really know your core values and you really have to be clear on your vision as to where you're going and then figure out what do you need. If it's funding you need or if it's certain people, you know, that can mentor you or coaches or consultants, you get what you need to get to where you need to get to. But I know funding is the number one thing that almost all of us will need to go to the next level. So thank you for the advice. How can the listeners get a hold of you, learn more, and shop, obviously?
Yeah, so you can, we'd love it if you would follow us on Instagram at Ren Amber Clothing, and that's Ren like the bird with a W. It's hard to grow organically, so we appreciate, we were so happy when we got to over 8,000. That was like all us, and I see it trickle up, so I'm just so hopeful. And then obviously online, we're renamber.com. And we'd love for you guys to join us and follow our little journey.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time. And I wish you so much luck, Jessica.
Thank you so much, Maria. Again, I appreciate it for you taking the time. And I look forward to connecting in the future.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.